Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms 112. Psalms 112 is a psalm really that affects all of us. And I know it's Father's Day, but I've tried never to be guilty on a Mother's Day of making everybody to be left out who's not a mother. Or on a Father's Day, if you happen to not be a father, that you be left out. I will give the title, A Father with a Fixed Heart, is what I'd like to minister today. But you know, this works for everyone. All truth is parallel. We honor all men today, regardless of age, single or father, whatever. But we really celebrate the fathers today. But as we look at Psalms 112, God made this psalm so real to my heart. Really, it's the profile of a prosperous, blessed believer. That's what it's all about. Word of God said, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. Gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be an everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You'll find that also in Psalms 108, verse 1. My heart is fixed. Going on here in Psalms 112, verse 8, his heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. But the desire of the wicked shall perish. The word of God said one more time, the latter part of verse 9, his horn shall be exalted with honor. There's several key things that I would like to share with you. I mean, there's a whole series of teaching here in Psalms 112 on the man with a fixed heart, the man with an established heart, and the same principles work for you precious ladies that are here today, young people. But let's look at this father with a fixed heart. And you ladies, put your name there. Here's a woman with a fixed heart. Here's a mother with a fixed heart. You see, marriage does not come with a fixed heart. You build now, before. A lot of people think, you say I do, and that just introduces you to a whole new world of wisdom and prosperity. And no, you just got yourself in another circle of learning and growing. Marriage does not come with a fixed heart, does not come with an established. It should. There should certainly be progress sufficient in that area, but you build now. You start now. You start where you are right now. For instance, character doesn't begin and you get the whole package on one day. Character is something that is built. Integrity is something that is established over a period of time. Now, what about this person with a fixed heart? First of all, he fears God. And that's one thing we so desperately need in our society. Church, listen to me, and I'll say it as quickly and as briefly as I can. It's not that I'm old-fashioned, it's not that I'm out of touch with the times, but the book still determines what we watch, what we say, where we go, and what we do. The book still determines what your conversation should be, what movies you should watch, what you should permit your ears to hear or not to hear. And there's something called the fear of God that I'm asking God for articulation, and I don't have time to get into it this morning. We need to have that something of God so birthed in us that when we hear something, see something, or a part of something that grieves the heart of God, that it grieves our spirit. It's not that anything goes, and we hear such a volume of things. It's amazing. We saw the first clean movie we've seen. I usually don't watch them. I got curious. I So a little dog was involved and got into that thing. And it was a clean movie. And I was talking to the flight attendant. I said, you know, we'll come back from San Juan. I said, you know, this is really refreshing. She said, you know, she said, some people are so warped, they think that's a child's movie because there's no profanity and, you know, and that type of thing. And she's a believer. And she hears the broadcast. She said, my schedule doesn't always permit it, but it's amazing. I've met a number of flight attendants who tell us they listen to the broadcast. But she said, you know, it grieves my heart to see all the demonic that is in movies nowadays. And church, what concerns me, I think, my God, are there families, are there couples, are there children of our church that can go and view this Harry Potter stuff or this demonic stuff and have no pangs of conscience, no witness of the Spirit of God that they're seeing something that is terribly demonic? We need to say, God, train my eyes, train my ears. Lord, help me to know. It's not a generational thing. It's not a we're dumbed down. It's not a generational thing. It's right and wrong. Just like it is in politics today, there's virtually no gray zone left. There was a time when there was a vast gray zone, but it's righteousness versus unrighteousness. And so it is. You know, it'd be better for you to stay home and play with the dog than to go to some movie and pay some Hollywood personality to cuss at you and use God's name in vain. And just like, I mean, it was very easy to see flying over to San Juan. I mean, the whole movie was about how to cheat on your wife and how to have one woman have another woman on the string and all, you know, just, and everybody does it, you know. It's just that same old garbage. Excuse me, that grieves my spirit. That grieves my spirit. We pay good money. We pay good money for airline tickets, and it grieves my spirit to. And you don't have to watch it. I'll give you that. But you can't even lift your head without seeing some things. And, you know, life is life. But this man, and I'm going to get on with it, but this man fears God. Church, I just ask you from a pastor's heart, ask God to give you sensitivity. Sensitivity to what your eyes should see and what your ears hear. And I'll tell you, this flight attendant, she was sharp as a tie. She said, she gave a certain age of her daughter. She's in her teens. She said, I go in and check what happens in her life. She said, I check what's on the, you know, I check what's come through. She said, she thinks I'm a meanie, but she said, I am going to do my best to teach and train our daughter in what is right. And I said, I salute you, dear. I salute you. You don't just take their word for where they're going and who's going to be there and who they're going to be with. I mean, you're in la-la land if you just take, oh, they just said, yeah. Man, kids are looking for folks like you all the time, I'm telling you. Well, my sweet little darling would never do anything wrong. Probably not if they didn't get the chance. But they might get the chance, and you might be the one giving them the chance. This thing's in my spirit. Better to never have a child than to have a child and refuse to raise them according to the teachings of God's word. Better to never have a child. And hey, life is fun, and God's a God. God salutes rejoicing, and you know, serving God's not a drag. My Lord have mercy, it's wonderful. But you don't have to swim in a sewer to learn how to swim. And you don't have to swim in a sewer to practice your swimming lessons. This man fears God. The Bible said, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Now, does that mean that he walks around afraid God's going to hit him? No. No, there's an awesome love and respect for God inside of him. And he doesn't want to grieve the heart of God. You know, you read through the Old Testament, there were times when the heart of God was grieved. The heart of God was grieved. And the things I'm talking about this morning, this doesn't start in teen years. This starts back in the early days of raising our children and so on. I had a mother that was very nosy, thank God. Man, I thought I couldn't get by with anything. Dear Lord, she was nosy, but thank God. Thank God. Thank God. I mean, There wasn't much I did wrong that I wasn't looking over my shoulder looking for my mama. Make sure she wasn't around. He fears God. Now, how many believe you see where I'm coming from today? Church, everybody's welcome here. But God put me here to be a voice of righteousness. God put me here to be a voice of righteousness in living for God and in marriage and the way your children, you know, sometimes we totally overlook things in our grandchildren that we'd never overlook in our own children's lives. So God put us in this world to make a difference, not to be mean-spirited, dear Lord, no, but he fears God. And there's something there that asks the question, does this please God? Is this something that the Spirit of God inside of me can feel comfortable with? Well, I think I've asked enough questions that I hope that I've stirred up something in your heart. This nation has got to turn back to some semblance of where we all started. Got to go back to it. In fact, the ship's drifted so far that when you try to get it back where it was, there's people that don't even know American history. I talked to an intelligent man with a doctorate recently. He doesn't have a clue where this nation came from. Doesn't have a clue. Doesn't have a clue. And was just spouting off information. Oh, gee, what world was this guy raised in? I mean, basic stuff. Not intellectual stuff, just basic stuff. God raised up this great nation. And that's the reason for 200 years we've been a great nation. This nation should not be here today. And there are things that are happening. Only the mercy and grace of God has kept us from massive judgment in this nation. I tell you that. But oh, let's be those that fear God. He delights greatly in God's word. Now that's where the fear of God comes from. If you don't know what the book says, then you don't know what to do. Amen. You know, basic aviation hasn't changed. Now, I'm not a pilot. I'd have to call up some of our authorities on that. But, you know, they still fly by the same principles they've been flying from for many, 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 well, since day one. Just better electronics and better understanding in those areas. But, you know, when you read the Bible, you see, the book is not determined by people's thinking or people's politics or people that say, well, I don't believe that. Well, tough. I do. Amen. Well, that's not the way that I was raised. I'm sorry. I was raised a different way. And I'm going to stay with what works. See, he delights greatly in his commandments. Now, if you don't read the Bible, you don't know what the Bible says. If you don't read over one or two promise verses, you don't really know what the Bible teaches. But he delights greatly in God's commands. The word of God said his seed shall be mighty on the earth. So there's three or four things here. This person with a fixed heart, they fear God. They delight greatly in God's word. And the Bible said that they're upright. They do what is right. They don't try to walk the edge to see all they can get away with. They are upright. If you do business with them, you're not sorry you did business with them. And something happened the other day. We had a handshake. Well, we had a handshake on the property downtown. The man was just blown away. He said to think that today there can still be a handshake that is authentic. Nowadays, for your benefit, you say, well, I'm doing business with a believer. You need an extra lawyer or two there. Probably. He's upright. His word is right. He has a reputation that he's a good man. He can be trusted to do the right thing. And that's what every believer should be. I tell you, I've been so basic lately, I'm concerned about myself. Last two or three times I've been away, I said to the leader, I said, you know, I am so basic. They said, this is what we need. We don't need another new revelation. We need to be reminded of what the foundational basics are. We don't miss it in not knowing who the latest person is that's got the latest revelation. And I'm always open, and God teaches me things constantly. But where people miss it is in foundational basics, just ABC. Like the little 100-year-old lady I talked to this last week, I said, how you doing? She said, 2 and 2 still makes 4. I said, all right. That's a good answer from a 100-year-old lady. 2 and 2 still makes 4. And I told you in a previous service, I said, well, how did you live so long? She said, I followed my father's advice. I don't cuss, I don't drink, and I don't smoke. And I say my prayers every night. She said, it's working. She's 100 years old, almost 100 years old in 6 months now. Think about that. You see, she said, I have a good life. I have a good life. And I'm thankful for my life. Not everybody can say that. Well, this man, verse 5, he's a good man. He can be trusted to do the right thing. Isn't that the kind of friend you want? Don't you want a friend that you can be trusted? You can trust them to do the right thing? You don't want any other kind of friends. They're really not a friend. The word of God said that his seed, let's read a little further, his seed shall be mighty on the earth. His seed. Folks, I'm telling you, this is one of the most awesome, simple, yet awesome statements. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. You planted seeds this morning that already are going all over the earth. His seed shall be mighty. I can't be mighty all over the earth. No man can be mighty all over the earth, but your seed shall be mighty. And I believe this means your giving, certainly your tithe unto the Lord. I mean, tithing is just, you know, the basic thing that God's word calls for. But, you know, the seeds that you plant in your work, in accomplishments, in the things that you do in life, every one of us should be committed that the world's going to be a better world because I've lived in this world. I want children to be better. I want adults to be better. I want something in this life to be better. And I started writing some things down. Refused to get into it now, but I said, Lord, what have we done? And boy, I'll tell you, God cleaned my clock. I mean, I wrote as fast as I could write, and I said, not bad for this time in life. Not bad. God's helped us to make a difference in a lot of situations. And you as our partners have helped us, and we've helped you. And together, we're making a difference in our world. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Your sowing, your giving, your work. The seed, of course, of your family and the influence of your family. Just think, we have seeds all over the world. We have seeds all over the world. And then it said, wealth and riches shall be in his house. Now, let me give a little insight here. Everybody doesn't drive a fleet of Rolls Royces. Everybody doesn't have a fleet of luxury jets. Everybody doesn't have three or four or five mansions like some people do who have a lot of money. But let me tell you something. You can only wear one pair of shoes at a time unless you're weird. Ladies, you can only wear, well, you could put a dress over a dress, but you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. You can only basically live in one house at a time, sleep in one bed at a time, eat one meal at a time, unless you're a glutton. You see what I mean? And so when it said that wealth and riches are in the house, we are part out of, they tell us what, 6 billion people in the earth? If that's the correct number, we're part of the upper 10% of the entire world. Think about that. Well, I don't have as new this or as good, but you're part of the 10%. You're eating. You have a place to stay. You know, we need to get happy about what we have. We need to be thankful about what we have. Now, let me tell you something, that I'm an American, so I'll put myself in the circle. Every time I travel, whether you go across the border and really get into, you know, the stuff, not the nice stuff, but the rough stuff, or you go overseas or you go to any kind of a third world nation, you realize we Americans are spoiled rotten. I mean, if it's not as cool as we want, we're out of here. I mean, if there's some kind of a something about the road we don't like, and you forget that there's roads that you can't even zigzag without hitting deep potholes, and just bang, bang, bang. I mean, we were in Jonestown across there preaching. I mean, I've never seen such poor roads that were called roads in my life. I mean, the car was constantly hitting bottom and just bang, bam, bam. I don't know how those cars stayed together. Man, how good it felt to get on a smooth road when we got home again. You know, we have so many blessings that we don't really realize how blessed we really are. We're blessed. I said, we're blessed. And you say, why are you harping on that? Because the more thankful we are, the more God will bless us. The more thankful we are, the more God can bless us. We need to be thankful things are as good as they are in this nation. Be thankful. You say, well, there's not enough of this, or there's not enough of that, or, you know, there's always something changing, but thank God things are as good as they are. My. It's so important to have a thankful heart. So wealth and riches shall be in his house or her house. You know, if you just have the basics, you're wealthy. Say it with me. If I just have the basics, I'm wealthy. I'm a blessed person. And everything above that is super blessed. Thank God that things are as good as they are. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. We're blessed. His righteousness endureth forever. Now, you know, there are still people that attend this church that don't realize that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. Some of you still don't know. There's some folks that have been to Bible school still don't know who they are in Christ. I don't know how they did it, but sometimes they... What does the Word of God say? The Word of God says we are the righteousness of God in Christ. The Word of God said that we're new creations, new creatures in Christ Jesus in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When we're born again, our spirit man is made righteous. Now where the conflict comes is our head and our body still under construction. And now we enter the renewing of the mind. And the body either wants to sleep too much or not enough, eat too much or not enough. The body is always up to something. And the mind, you know, to train your mind. Think on these things, Philippians 4:8 said. Folks, I just can't be any more basic than I am, but where we're missing it as Americans is just on the basics. Just knowing how to think. Just keeping a grip on your mind. Just not let there be a can of worms between your ears, but say, I will think what God told me to think. On my best day, on my worst day, I will think what God told me to think. His righteousness endureth forever. And so 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, we need to read places like this. Your spirit is righteous, born again, but it's your mind and your body that are under construction. And that's why we need to do the cleansing and repentance and do the things we do along the way. But oh, thank God, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Folks, if it wasn't for the grace of God, there's not a person in this room that would make it today. Start right here behind the pulpit. Who can stand up and say, I have lived the perfect life. Everyone follow my example. Huh? I'm the perfect person. We're the righteousness of God in Christ. You know what's good about me? Jesus. You know what's good about Pastor Bob Nichols? Jesus that lives inside of you. You know what's good about you? Jesus that lives inside of you. That's what's good about you. That's what's good about me. Word of God said in verse 4, there ariseth light in darkness. We're talking about a father with a fixed heart, and this also works in a parallel way for you women. There ariseth light in the darkness. Oh, thank God when it looks like it's all over. If you'll trust God, it's just begun. When it looks like it's all over, if you just trust God, get your second wind, get a grip, just get yourself some promises. When it looks like it's all over, it's really just begun. There ariseth light in the darkness. Word of God said, he shall not be moved. They'll not be moved. They'll not be afraid of evil tidings. Boy, that's good. Shall not be moved. You know, Paul said, none of these things move me. Now, he didn't say that these things don't affect me, but he said, they're not going to move me off of what God has called me to do. Acts 20:24. Yeah, we're touched. We're hit on every side. If you live long enough. But said, he shall not be moved. You know, the smartest thing you can do when bad news comes is just keep your mouth shut. Stand in one place and get yourself oriented to what God has said about that. Sometimes when things go wrong, first thing you want to do is get on the phone with your flaky friends, and you're in worse shape than you were when you started. When something happens that you don't, hold steady. Don't run. Don't compromise. Don't quit. Get a grip. God, your word, your promise, your help. He shall not be moved, shall not be afraid of evil tidings. If you live long enough, you're going to have some evil tidings. Why? Because verse 7 said, his trust is in the Lord. His trust is in the Lord. Oh, if your trust is in the Lord, not be moved, not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is established. Listen, see, his trust is in God. Not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. See, we just march to a different drumbeat. That's why the world thinks we're crazy. When we have every reason to go berserk, we just say, huh? Duh. I'm not buying into that. When everything falls at our feet and the world expects us to react in a certain way, we just say what Paul said on board that ship. I heard from God. I believe God. It shall be even as God has said. Is there anything else you want to ask me? What else don't you understand about who I am and where I'm coming from? Because when you've really heard from God and you believe the word that you've heard from God and you believe it, it shall be even as God has said unto you. Even verse 5 said there's wisdom to guide his affairs with discretion. That means as a judge would give a just, right verdict or decision. A verdict or a decision that is fair and just and right. He will guide his affairs with discretion. God shows him what to do, when to do, how to do. Now let's get back. He shall not be moved. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His trust is in God. His heart is fixed. Now that word fixed, it means firm, to be stable, to be established. To be firm, to be stable, to be established. I meet so many people, it's just who got to them last. I've had people leave my office with a victory and see them 2 days later and they're in the pits. His heart is fixed. His heart is established. His heart is fixed. His heart is established. See, you don't have to know what's going to happen tomorrow if your heart is fixed and your heart's established and you're trusting in God. And your trust is in the Lord, you know everything's going to be all right. If you'll just hold steady. It may take a few days, it may be rougher tomorrow than it is today, but it's going to get better. His trust is in God. His heart is fixed. It's established. It's established. Oh God, give us an established heart. That regardless of what happens, I mean, the whole language of Psalms 112 is when Satan fires his best shot or his worst shot, hold steady. Trust in God. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't speak words of defeat. Compromise. Quit. Just hold steady until you know what to say. Sometimes there's nothing to say. Sometimes it's best you don't say anything. Those of you that have a prayer language, you need to get busy on that. Amen. That's who we are, remember. That's who we are, and that's where we've come from. Work hard. Pray in the Spirit, because as you pray in the Spirit, you know not what to pray for as you are. But out of that will come answers. Out of that will come revelation. Out of that, God will show you what to do. Where do I go from here? God will show you. That's His way. Well, this man, verse 9, is a giver. You know, I've watched God bring giving people through. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. In other words, He's a giver. He giveth. Can you say with me this morning, thank God I'm a giver? Of course, God always brings givers through. He's a giver. He not only gives what he has to give, he gives above that as God leads him. He's also full of compassion, as Jesus was. Full of compassion. Full of compassion. His horn shall be exalted with honor. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. In other words, he's helped the unfortunate. It's one thing I thank God about this church. We're 10 years into something that everybody thought was a government project to begin with. Everybody want to know when are the government funds going to run out when they first saw the Stitches trailers going out in the highways and hedges. Is this a government project? How much do you have? How long are you going to be here? We're not government. God sent us here. We'll be here as long as God says we need to be here. Our track record is helping, loving, giving, compassion. That's what our track record is here. Therefore, when we had nothing and everything was reduced to zero, God had mercy and compassion on us, brought us back. You reap what you sow. You remember Jesus, on one occasion, said Jesus had compassion on him. Had compassion on him. The Bible said his horn shall be exalted with honor. You know, it really doesn't make any difference what everybody says about you. Is it true? I've had people go, oh, everybody just said this. I said, whoa. Is it true? Is it true? His horn shall be exalted with hope. See, man's honors are temporary and short-lived. The heroes of yesterday are the heels of today. The statues of honor of yesterday, people walk by and the bronze is turned to green and people don't even remember who the statue was erected for. And thank God someone had the presence of mind to want to honor somebody. That's okay. But man's honors are temporary and short-lived. But God's honors are eternal. God's honors are eternal. And I tell you, when God honors you, you are honored. The world may honor you and it may be hollow, it may be zero. But when God honors you, it's good. And it won't pass away when people pass away and people forget. You see, the real honor goes before us. For men's deeds go before them, before that final hour. Well, on this Father's Day, you know, for those that had a father, for those that didn't have a father, for those that didn't have much of a father, for those that had almost zero for a father, to those that never knew a father, let me tell you some good news today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father, my Father, your Father, which art in heaven. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is the Savior, the Son of God, but God is Father. Father God. Father God. Father God. I like what Martin Luther said, you just don't realize how dysfunctional my parents were. I said, well, God used them to get you here. Whatever your parents were, whatever they were not, whatever your father was or was not, you have a good heavenly Father. And he's not only in heaven, but he's in this room today. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life with a capital L.